Public hearing is conditional use number 1873, Wine Works LLC.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in a B1 neighborhood business district for a winery store to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 9200ths of an acre, more or less, lying southwest corner of Route 54 and Fenwick Shoals Boulevard. For the record, the applicants did provide on February 28th of 2011 an exhibit booklet which contains references to House Bill number 93 and the Farm Winery Law, a letter from the Office of Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission in reference to licensing, a copy of a tax map of the area, an aerial photograph, a copy of a portion of the future land use plan map, and a portion of the strategies for state policies and spending map from the 2008 Comprehensive Land Use Plan with related text, a listing of permitted uses and conditional uses in a B1 neighborhood business district, a location map, floor plans, and a site plan for the site, photographs of the facility and the vineyard, a copy of their proposed presentation, a copy of the support facilities report from DLDOT, and a suggested proposed conditions. For the record, also, we did receive on March 9th of 2011 comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, and we were advised that the site is located in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District, that Ordinance 38 construction is not necessary, that the current system connection charge rate is $4,820 per EDU, which stands for equivalent dwelling unit, that the proposed use is within an existing building that is connected to the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District, that conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required, that the applicant is proposing a winery store, that it is unknown at this time if the winery portion of the proposed use will generate a type and quantity of wastewater that can be discharged to central sewer, that it should not be assumed that the winery operation will be permitted to connect to the central sewer, that additional information must be provided, and a contact person was listed for purpose of contact with the County Engineering Department, and a concept plan, it will be required. We also received a letter with a photograph submitted in opposition from Garth McCabe, a resident of the neighboring subdivision of Fenwick Farms, expressing concerns about the lack of a fence between the parking area and the subdivision, that a fence has only been partially erected, and that the fence behind his home has not been completed, that this area of the fence is a loading and delivery area for the restaurant and bar, and that it will remain opposed until a fence is erected. And to date, that's all we've received.
All right, sir, we thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Willard.
Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, Tim Willard of Fuqua Urian Willard, representing the applicant in this case. The applicant is Adrian Mobilia. He's the principal and owner of Wineworks, and they're doing business as Fenwick Wine Cellars. I don't know if you've all visited the site, but you'll see a sign, Fenwick Wine Cellars. To be clear, the property is owned by the landlord, Keith Properties. They have, Keith Properties has a restaurant in the front, a blind store in the middle, or blind shades, and then in the back portion, which will become clearer to you when you look at some exhibits, is Mr. Mobilia's business. And he's been there since January 2010, selling bottled wine. He's actually from Northwest Pennsylvania, where his family actually has vineyards. They have about, I think, 200 acres worth of vineyards that his dad runs. He had the good fortune of meeting a young lady from Sussex County, and now they have a 15-month-old child, and he's set up shop here, and this is a business he's undertaken. You all obviously have jurisdiction over land use, but necessarily I think I have to talk a little bit about the alcohol laws and how we got here. And I know there may be some basketball games tonight, so I'm going to try to be efficient in my presentation. When I walked in here, I saw Commissioner Cordry, and I thought, well, that's certainly nice that he would come to follow through on this and see it. But I learned since that he's here maybe for other reasons.
Don't assume too much.
Yeah. I'll walk gently there. But just to give you some background here, and the reason you have HB 93 in front of you is Delaware's got a farm winery law, and we have several farm wineries. You may be familiar with Nassau Vineyards over there, and there's one up in Felton. And, you know, I submit, a good thing for Delaware. It's a good business. Agriculture, manufacturers create jobs. Apparently, we have some good soil for wine. So it's something the state legislator, and I also see a state legislator here tonight. I don't know if he's here for this, but it's something they've encouraged. The law simply is, just to oversimplify it, allows somebody to operate a farm winery. And a farm winery is to harvest wine, actually have vineyards, to ferment it, bottle it, and retail it. And that's what a farm winery license is, like the one that Ms. Raley has over there. As part of that licensing process, the applicant is allowed to sell bottled wine before it's actually being fermented there, okay, before you're making the wine, for a graduated period of time over 3 years. In other words, if you have a bottler that designates your label, you can sell it there for 3 years. Simply, the idea is so you can get your wine business up and growing, grow some fruit, and actually ferment the wine, even though some of the wine may be made from juice coming in elsewhere. It also requires that you, among other things, that you have government approval. In this particular case, if you turn to tab 4, you can see a Google Earth picture of where this property is located. The shopping center, or the small retail business, is south of 54, and then north is where he has actually an acre of wine planted. That's agriculture north of 54. South is B1, where the restaurant is. And B1 allows you to do a lot of stuff, and that stuff is outlined in tab 9. And I would even submit it allows you to do stuff that's even a little bit more intrusive than, you know, pouring wine and sugar into a tank. But to actually ferment the wine and then bottle it is what you would call manufacturing, or it's more of an industrial use. It would have been allowed in the AR district as part and parcel to agriculture. However, it's not permitted in B1. And Mr. Lank had some familiarity with this application early on, and this was the route that we decided to go. We could either go change his own or conditional use. So we decided to apply for conditional use to allow us to ferment and bottle the wine, which is not otherwise. And that's what the conditional use application is. Why you're looking at HB 93, or perhaps you're not looking at HB 93, but with the assistance of the commissioner and the General Assembly, and I actually am a Senate attorney, and I was wearing various hats with, obviously, full disclosure, they passed a simple bill that said you can start this operation up if you don't have government approval. The government approval, in this case, would have been from Mr. Lank saying it's okay to ferment and bottle wine. And what we did is we created a temporary license to allow him to pursue this opportunity pending getting approval. So ultimately, we hope you'll recommend approval of this conditional use, and council will agree with you so that his temporary license will become fully vested, if you will, and he can continue his operation.
Okay.
Perhaps too much information. I think the rest of the exhibits that you have help to support the documentation required for a conditional use. Tab 2, you actually have the temporary license. Tab 3 starts speaking about the surrounding areas, and you can see there's B1 right next to this. There's actually a restaurant and a law office. And if you go to Google Earth's floor picture, many of you are familiar with this area, you'll see just down the street is Smitty McGee's and that whole complex. So it's not that unusual, I think, to have this wine business in this area, or wouldn't adversely affect the other neighborhoods. Up the street is Zonko Builders. And as far as your comp plan, it's environmentally sensitive developing district, which you well know at this time, and I've submitted that language in my presentation, calls for diverse development. That recognizes the sensitivity of the area. In this case, there is sewer available. It's also in a level 3 strategy area for the state, where although they indicate some limited development should occur, in this case, you know, when you see the yellow level 3 strategies area, it's surrounded by other development. So it seems appropriate for development according to state strategies. You see all the listings in B1 that can be used. And again, when you consider whether this would adversely affect the area, B1 allows a lot of other stuff that would cause probably more turmoil. And we'll get to the actual operation in one moment. And B1 allows conditional use for any kind of commercial or industrial process. And in this case, we believe it's consistent with the purpose of the conditional use statute. In tab 7, it helps you see a better picture of what's going on the site. There are 55 parking areas, which should be plenty. They're shared. The restaurant is up front, and there's parking also in the rear. If you look at the first picture in tab 7, that shows the actual dimensions, 40 by 70, of Mr. Mobilia's site. The next page on that shows the layout, if you will. In the front is the store where there's bottles, and all the bottles in there, if you go in there, it's all Fenwick wine cellars, but they sell, and Mr. Mobilia will tell you more about it, a lot of varieties of both white and red, and they're all labeled Fenwick wine cellars. And actually, they were just recently picked up by a distributor, which is good news. The license also allows them to sell other wine-related stuff, corkscrews and hats. And there's a tasting bar there. In the back is a desk. And then in the larger portion that you see back there, that's where the fermenting and bottling will take place. And if you turn the page, you actually see the tanks and the pallets. And it's, as I learn more about it, it's a very simple operation that Mr. Mobilia will tell you about, and there are no funky chemicals involved or anything like that. And you just clean the tanks with water. And finally, on that page, you show actually the site plan of the property that was approved. And the back portion on parcel A there actually was divided, so there's one retail store in between. Tab 8 shows you pictures of what the site looks like now. That will not change at all. The whole fermenting process will be inside. So you'll see the front of the store. The next picture shows Mr. Mobilia actually in his one-acre vineyard. There's enough room there, I think, for several more acres, which he intends to grow as the business grows on that side of the street. There's another picture of the vineyard. And then these pictures kind of look like the photographer was getting into the wine because they're not very good. But that's supposed to be the inside of the store. You can see the bottle racks and then the back. The tab 9 is a presentation that somewhat redundant that Mr. Mobilia worked on and talks about the history of how we got here in the legislation. When you go to page 4, I think it is, it says, what is needed for manufacturing? And I'd just like to call Mr. Mobilia as a witness now just to give you a little bit of detail, and then if you have any questions, we'll go further. Adrian, can you stand up here, please?
Sure. Hi.
You need to state your name and your address for the record.
My name is Adrian Mobilia. I live at 11127 Signature Boulevard, Selbyville, Delaware, 19975.
And if the commissioners are following me, they'll be at tab 9, where it begins with the hoses and tanks. And perhaps I could just ask you the general question. Can you describe for them the process of making the wine and how it will occur in this particular location?
Yes. We will turn our grapes into juice, which is a liquid. And at that point, we will store that liquid in tanks. There'll be various tanks for one for each variety. So you can't mix them at that point, although it might be fun. At some point, you must filter it to get any solids out. So you have pumps and hoses that just push it through a filter with some cheesecloths and a plate and frame filter. At that point, you have your filtered wine or juice. It's in the tank. You do the fermentation by adding yeast, which attacks the carbohydrates in the juice, converts it to alcohol. In the end, if you wish to sweeten to taste, you would add some sugar. And then you run it through a bottling line to put the liquid into the bottles, put the cork on, the capsule on top, and then the label, at which point it just waits to go out front and get put on the shelf and sold.
And these exhibits show pictures of the tanks and the actual bottling machines. Is that correct?
Yes.
And towards the end of those exhibits, do you see a site plan showing the layout of your tanks? You'll have about 24 tanks?
Roughly.
Any unusual odors or sounds in this process?
No. There's really no noise other than just the pump, which makes a small humming sound when it's running.
And this will all be contained all behind closed doors in the back?
Yes, it's all done inside these four walls.
Okay. And how many people do you employ now?
Six.
How many do you expect to employ more when you get up and running with fermenting?
We're looking to hire another one in the coming weeks, an assistant part-time manager for the retail side. And as we get this, we would probably have to bring in another one or two.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
I think you've done a good job. If there's any questions or anything I didn't explain right.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Okay.
It's really what they... Thank you.
Thank you.
And then you see Delta, there's no TIS. I have proposed conditions. In fact, I had proposed finding of facts, which, as Mr. Robertson tell you, are kind of boilerplate, but I think the application as a whole meets the conditional use purpose. You know, we're open to any conditions, in particular, as far as the engineer is concerned. As soon as I found out about, you know, that concern, which is legitimate, and I've had some experience with Dogfish Head when I was in Milton, this is a totally different operation as far as making beer and what comes out there. As I understand it, that when the tanks are done bottling, that it's a small cleaning process that just takes water and that goes out. A ball goes in the tank, and it's a design that shoots everywhere and might have 20 gallons of water, you know, once a month when the tanks are cleaned out. So it's pretty clean operation. But as far as adding a condition to require, you know, the engineering permitting for that, we have no problem with that. As far as the fence in the back that the neighbor, you know, I saw that letter today, and I tried to address it by talking to Billy Scott, who's the lawyer for the landlord, and just bring it to his attention. So I really can't tell you much more than that. He doesn't necessarily have a dog in that fight as a tenant, but we understand you might want to address that issue. There's some history of that site plan and whether the fence is up. We obviously want to be a good neighbor as a tenant, so I tried to address it today, but I don't have much more information for you. I think Mr. Lank was out there at one point, but so if there's nothing else, can you step here for one more second? You've heard my representations to the commission tonight. Are they true and accurate to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Willard. So just to clarify, the site on the north side of State Road 54, where the vineyard is, that is not the subject of the application. That is where the grapes are being grown at the present time.
Correct.
And if this type of operation, this farm winery, were to occur in that AR1, it would be permitted. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as this business evolves, you know, that may be a place for it. What makes this location kind of ideal is, you know, you're not just growing soybeans. It's more of a destination kind of agricultural thing. So you're close to the beach. You got enough land to have several more acres. But to answer your question, yes, I think if he were to move this operation out of this particular location, he could do it in AR1. That's my understanding,
mm-hmm.
which may happen in the future.
And the Fenwick Wine Cellars has been operating for a little over a year or so.
Yeah,
at the B1 site, it's not been violated by Mr. Lank or Mr. Abbott's staff.
No.
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So what they're currently doing with the sales of wines is fine. It's with the desire to bring in this fermentation and this somewhat of
If you went there now, you
modeling.
Would see no tanks and you wouldn't see the bottling equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we talked briefly, and perhaps I should mention, I don't know if anybody's here that has interest in this, but you know, the deliveries won't really change that much because there's trucks coming in the daily, maybe a month, that deliver the wine in bottles, and now it would come in the same kind of trucks. They're not like big tanker trucks, but the wine's stored in tanks within a closed truck. And so the deliveries won't increase, and you won't really see much difference because it's all behind closed doors. But he's not gonna be purchasing any of this equipment until council gives him permission.
Understood. Under tab 2, there's a notice that appears to be a public notice talking about Wine Works, and At least in my exhibit book, you've got a star by the second paragraph down that says, farm winery license allows the applicant to go grow grapes, process grapes, ferment the juice and the table wine, tasting tours, etc. Says it does not allow the sale of any other brands of wine or other spirits. It only allows for the sales of the brand of the applicant. Does that mean that you, your store then would only be stocking, shelving, and selling Fenwick wine cellars?
That's correct.
That's how that would go. There would be nothing else. Yeah. I think I understand the application. I don't have any other questions. You didn't happen to bring any samples, did you?
Not tonight. That can be arranged if it, you know. I don't want to get in that.
Okay. That's all I have.
I can say for the record that I have sampled the product. And
tonight?
No, sir.
Mr. Ross.
That's when I took those pictures. Yeah.
It's happy hour somewhere. Well, Mr. Mavir, I agree. Mr. Willard has done a good job. The zoning for Nassau Valley Vineyard, what's the zoning for that?
C1 general commercial, which allows for agricultural uses.
And so?
It's permitted there.
And
okay, the only difference, so I see B1 doesn't permit.
So you're already in a B1 and you're part of, and you're leasing the property. Okay, I got you. If you mentioned you may add some production here in Sussex County, Mr. Mobilia, do you have any idea how many acres you're thinking about expanding? Sure.
Yeah, please. It would really be based on the sales demand of the bottles, but we intend to keep planting an acre, you know, every spring to get a little bit of variety so we have what we need to put in the bottle. Obviously, we'll never be able to grow enough to fulfill all varieties. You're always going to probably have to buy some from outside. But it could maybe be as big as, you know, 10 to 12 acres of grapes. It could be 20. I don't know yet. It's only been a year, so.
Good. And then the in your testimony, you mentioned there's no noise. And there was, I think Mr. Willard asked you about odors, but I either didn't hear your answer. But would there be any smell emanating from the building, the smell of grapes, wines, or other things that the neighbors might hear?
There really shouldn't be. You're going to smell grapes in the air from the vineyard across the street in September when they're ready and as you're picking them. If you were standing in the back of the building, you would probably would smell grapes. If you're outside the building, I don't think you would.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I heard you mention about importing or bringing in grapes from elsewhere. What percentage would you anticipate using your own grapes versus those from elsewhere?
I would use 100% of my own, and then you would have to buy grapes or juice on the open market to fill the rest of the demand. So you may have a variety called Chamberson where I grow enough of it to meet my demand, but maybe Pinot Grigio I don't. So I'd have to buy, you know, some of that.
So on your acre or so where you're growing grapes now, of what you're anticipating producing, what percent would that represent of your grapes?
Right now it would be small. When I get it up near 10 acres, it would be more significant.
So what percentage are you talking about? 10%, 90%, 1%?
With 10 acres, it would probably be closer to 50.
But with 1 acre, you have one acre
now.
1 acre
right now, it's probably only going to fulfill 10% of what we're selling.
So really what we're looking at is more of a process where you're going to be converting grapes that are grown elsewhere into wine. So it's more of a bottling or fermentation, you know, wine making from other wine, not coming from yours, whereas perhaps at Nassau Valley, they're doing a higher percentage of their own.
Their growing percentage is higher, yes. They do purchase from outside as well.
Okay. And of your own grapes that you're going to be working with, what happens to the byproduct, the waste product?
It gets put into one-ton totes, and then we take that back out to the vineyard and we spread it.
So it's recycled?
Yes. Okay. It's organic matter, so it acts as a fertilizer.
Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
All my questions have been answered.
All right, Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
Just, Mr. Lang, did we, and I apologize if you've read it, did we have any comments from county engineering? I'm wondering about...
I read them into the record.
Okay, just, my only comment would be that you're going to have to comply with county engineering's requirements, and they may look at it potentially as an industrial discharge, which, you know, is not insurmountable, but you'll just have to work with them as far as getting that taken care of.
There, in reference to your question, their comments were that it is unknown at this time if the winery portion of the proposed use will generate a type and quantity of wastewater that can be discharged into central sewer. And it should not be assumed that the winery operation will be permitted to connect to central sewer, and that additional information must be provided, and they offer a contact person in their comments.
We'll give them everything.
And that doesn't have to do with your, you know, it's the discharge from the winery operation. You'll be able to connect to the sewer for bathrooms and, you know, other things.
Yeah,
like
right.
That, so, right. Okay. That's the only question I had. Thanks. Okay.
Mr. Schmidt?
I have a question either for Mr. Abbott or Mr. Lank. If this application was acted favorably upon, the subject of the conditional use is just the site where this gentleman operates now. Assuming that, let's say, this is a successful business and perhaps he expanded over into the square footage where the blind store is now, would that be the subject of an amendment to this conditional use if he went outside the confines of where he's operating now, either by addition, a new addition, or by assuming perhaps another store that went out of business?
It would depend on how you put your restrictions on or your conditions. If you limit it to the area that he's applied for, then it's going to be limited. If you reference expansion, then you could put a stipulation on that. If you don't reference it, he could always come back a year or two from now and ask to expand it within the same project. So there is a method to expand.
Yes.
And it would be subject to the commission review before he could go into any further square footage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Smith, my intention was I included in my proposed conditions the square footage, because my concern was that you all wanted to approve something you can get your handle on. Mm-hmm. And so I actually intended in the proposed conditions to limit it to that space.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise we don't know. You know, we'd obviously welcome an expansion clause, I just thought we needed to give you something definite. That's why we, you know.
Right. I just wanted to be clear on that because, gentlemen, this is kind of a first for me, and there might be something that would come up that we didn't think of at this time, and then with an expansion that we may find saying, well, perhaps there's more odors than we thought, or more noise, or more deliveries, and we might want to look at it again. Not comparing it to a borrow pit, but that is something that we do with borrow pits, that we have periodic comebacks on them. And this, as I say, your business is new to me. So I wish you the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, if you take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1873 Wine Works LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1873? Anyone on the commission have any questions? I just have one, maybe two, for the applicant. What part of Northwest Pennsylvania are you from?
A little town called Northeast. It's outside of Erie, Pennsylvania, up on the lake.
Okay. My other question is, what happened to the Steelers this year?
Like Penn State, we didn't fare too well when it counted. We'll be back.
You'll be back. All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision.
Thank you.
Or you may wish to call the office in the morning.